Good morning. You're all welcome to Calvary Chapel, Kampala, this morning. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, thank you so much for drawing us to yourself, oh God. Thank you so much for coming down and living with us, oh God, and speaking to us, giving us your instructions, oh God, giving us life. Lord, giving us your holiness and righteousness through Jesus. Thank you so much for giving us your word. Your word is life, Lord. Your word is truth. Your word is light to our feet and to our paths, oh God. I pray that, again, we would be strengthened, nourished, and empowered as we learn from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Exodus 19 is where we are in the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt. On the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. They had departed from Rephidim and come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. This is going to be a place that they're going to actually spend the most time at this camp. This is going to be called the Mountain of the Law, right? They're going to spend here about 57 chapters of the Exodus. Up to Numbers chapter 10 is when they actually leave. So they are going to receive all the law of the Old Testament before they could leave. And this is actually a fulfillment of a promise that God gave to Moses. In Exodus chapter 3 verse 12, God said to Moses, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain." So Moses is familiar with this territory because he used to graze sheep around this mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So God invites Moses up the mountain. "Please come, I have a message for you." And this message, take it down to the Israelites. "I have brought you out of Egypt. See how I brought you out like an eagle carrying its young, like an eagle carrying an eaglet, moving you from one home to your real home." Talks about care and power. "And if you..." Please tell them, "if you obey my instructions, my voice, my commands, if you obey my covenant, you shall be to me a treasure above all, a special treasure." And he said to them, "For the earth is mine." You're going to be the most special people to me all across the world. And we know that God is going to use the nation of Israel to bring Jesus and to save the whole world. That's the promise that he made to Abraham. "Through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed." That's you and I. We are blessed because of the promise that God made to Abraham. So Moses, verse 7, came down and called the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Mark those words, "all that the Lord has said or commanded, we will do." Is that true? Is that true? No. They committed themselves to follow the Lord, but obviously, just like anybody through Adam, we all fail. We wake up in the morning and, "God, yes, we will obey you, we will follow you, we will do everything you want us to do." But along the way, we fail. That's why God would send us Jesus, perfect in all ways, to be the sacrifice for us, so that in Christ we are completely righteous and perfect before God. Amen? we will do, right? And then God went back. I mean, Moses went back to the mountain and told God, yes, they promised they will be obedient. Verse 9, and God said to Moses, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words to the people, of the people rather, to the Lord. In verse 10, the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. Now they're going to meet with God. They're going to meet face to face with God. They're going to hear God's voice audibly. They're going to hear a physical, tangible, visible, hearable, touchable presence of God. Go consecrate them today and tomorrow. They need to bathe. They need to wash their clothes. And let them be ready for on the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of the people. You shall set bounds for the people around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trump sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. They need to prepare to meet God. And God says, this is how you're going to prepare them. They need to be clean, right? They need to take a bath. They need to wash their clothes. And this is going to last 3 days. If the clothes don't dry on day one, they should dry on day two at least, or day three. Maybe you have those who are going to wash their clothes late. You have 3 days to prepare. And set a boundary around the mountain. Nobody should cross that mountain. Nobody should even come close and touch it. They need to keep a distance. If any beast, any animal, any human being touches it, they're going to die. In verse 14, so Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of a trumpet was very loud, so that all the people in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the people, rather, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. 3 days they needed to prepare. Imagine God tells you, I'm going to meet you, this is Sunday, I'm going to meet you on Tuesday. I have an appointment with you, I want to meet you on Tuesday. How would you prepare? All your questions? Clean up the room? God, where am I going to meet you? I'm going to meet you in your room, I'm coming. That will be the most cleaned room ever for at least that season, right? You put out every kind of rubbish because you know God is coming. Maybe you spray some air freshener in there. No dust in there, right? And then God comes. This is the least they expected to hear or see. In fact, I'm sure their mind was completely blank. God is coming to meet us, all right? We've taken our bath. We've cleaned our clothes. And then they waited. The third day comes, and they hear thunder, lightning, smoke. They see smoke and a trumpet from heaven whose sound gets louder and louder, and the earth is shaking. How would you like that? We've had some tremors, and whenever tremor hits, if a tremor hit right now, I know some of you would respond in a very interesting way, right? Just a tremor, just the building shaking here and there. But imagine seeing fire, seeing a cloud, seeing smoke. The earth is shaking and there is sound of a trumpet that gets louder and louder, we would all tremble. They trembled, and Moses, verse 17, brought the people out in the camp, and they stood there, and when they heard all these things, they trembled. There's an earthquake. I mean, you have nowhere to run. Even if you wanted to escape this scene, you had nowhere to run. The earth is shaking. There's cloud. There's fire. There's thunder. And when the blast, verse 19, of the trumpet sounded long, came louder and louder, Moses and God started speaking. Imagine God speaking to Moses amidst all this. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 21, go down and warn the people, lest they break through the gaze, rather the breakthrough to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also let the priests come near the Lord, consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. But Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to the mountain, for you warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it. And the Lord said to him, go away, get down, and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. So you can imagine how many times Moses gets down and up the mount. This is actually in modern-day southern Saudi Arabia, where this mountain is. Moses is an old man. You know that. He has to climb this hill up and down numerous times. So he went up, he came down, and then he went back up to speak with God when God descended. And God says, you need to go back down and give them another warning. They should not come close to the mountain. And Moses says to the Lord, you know what? I've already told them. There is no way they're going to break boundaries. And God says, away, go back. They had committed themselves to obey, right? And Moses had to obey, even when he says, you know, God, I've already been up and down the mountain twice. I don't have to go back and come back a third time. But God required him to. And this time he has to come back with his brother Aaron, who's going to be a priest. Go warn the people. Nobody should come close to the mountain that I'm going to speak to you about. Now, in all this, God is shaping these people, not only for the journey, but for the whole blessing for them to receive. God had promised them land. God has promised them protection. God has promised them to be a blessing to the whole world. God has said, you're going to be to me a special treasure among all. In order for the whole nation to receive all that God had promised, there were going to be some instructions to be given, and obedience was required. There is no way that God is just going to let them be wild. God is going to shape their living until all his promises are fulfilled. And here we see terror. Everybody's trembling. This is a desert. There are barriers. And access to God was only through Moses and Aaron. You can imagine over 2 million people down a hill, down a mountain. And they had to communicate with God through one man. Just one man. God is calling them to obedience. He's calling them to be set apart, to be clean and completely set apart for him. And the same call is being made today to each one of us. Sometimes we think that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament, right? Have you ever thought like that? Maybe the God of Old Testament was so terrifying. He comes down in lightnings and thunder and earthquakes. Do you know that actually happened when Jesus died on the cross? very similar scene happened. There was thunder, there was darkness, there was an earthquake. As God called them to obedience, God is calling each one of us to obedience. The very same instructions apply. God called them to be set apart for Him alone. God is calling us to be set apart for Himself alone. Did you take a bath before you came to church? Just kidding. Be reserved and set apart and completely given to the Lord alone. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 12, the Bible says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." Is that familiar? We just heard that, didn't we? And the very same words that were used to these people are the very same words that are used in reference to us in the New Testament. A chosen people, a royal priesthood, those who stand between God and others. You like being a priest? You want to use the title of priest before your name? A holy nation. A nation committed, a people committed to the obedience of God. His own special people. We just read that. God's own special treasure. Do you know that about yourself? That you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. And this is the reason. Before we can get excited about all those titles, you know what that means? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but now are a people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. The very same call. As the Israelites were journeying and going home, so we are on this journey going home. And Peter refers to us, the Bible refers to us as sojourners and pilgrims, here for only a season, just passing by. And he says, abstain from fleshly lusts. That's exactly what God required them at the mountain. Stay away from anything unclean. In fact, the marrieds were told to keep away from each other. Did you read that or did you skip over that? Did you be like, oh, maybe that's not the Bible? It is in the Bible. Even the marrieds were supposed to keep away from themselves, an act of cleanliness. I mean, God says abstain from flesh lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. God chose the nation of Israel to be a reflection of His power, His presence, His love, His kindness, His mercy, also His holiness. And through the nation of Israel, Jesus came. He gave us His holiness and righteousness. And He says to us who benefit from His righteousness and holiness on the cross, conduct yourselves in a honorable way among the Gentiles, among those who do not believe, so that if they speak against you, they may find nothing evil at all. They're accusing you of all sorts of evil stuff. They may find none. And when they find nothing evil, they may be drawn to God. They may glorify God in the day of visitation. If you never get a chance to communicate verbally the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, all of us have a chance to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? If you're thinking, I'm timid, I'm shy, I'm not gifted in evangelism, all I can do is live out as God requires of me, that is a good way to preach. When evildoers, evil speakers come against you, they'll find nothing. And the Bible says they will come to the Lord. They will glorify the Lord in the day of visitation. God spoke to the nation of Israel, and God is speaking to us the very same things. I'm calling you to obedience. I'm calling you to cleanliness. I am calling you to conduct yourselves in a manner that reflects who I am. The difference between the nation of Israel and us is just one. They were on the mountain of the law. We stand on the mountain of grace. Mount Zion, stand in Jerusalem. We are already on the other side of the covenant. The promise was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The instructions remain the same. And the writer of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, verses 22 to 29, gives us this glimpse. It says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." The Israelites were at the mountain of the law. There were barriers, there was terror, there was fear. They had to keep their distance. They had to access God through Moses and Aaron. All that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible in Hebrews 12 says, "You have come to another mountain altogether." Jesus was not crucified in the mountain of the law, this mountain. He was crucified in Jerusalem, the mountain of God. This is, "You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." You remember all that, do you? You have come to a mountain that has angels, and it has an innumerable amount of people, all nations, tongues, and tribes gathered together in the name of Jesus, the church of the firstborn, the church of the resurrection. The firstborn there is a reference to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those who partake of the resurrection, that's all of us who believe in Jesus. And if you don't, today you can receive him and be part of the resurrection, as it refers to here. Registered in heaven. All of us are. Amen. Make sure you're registered in heaven. If you're not yet, the registration book is still open. I remember watching a drama about heaven. And there was this guy who got saved on the last day of judgment. And then he was standing before God. And the angels kept opening the book. And the guy kept saying, "Please keep looking. Please keep looking." "I got saved on the last day of judgment, so probably just go to the back." God is still registering those who want to go to heaven. And we need to tell people that. We have come to God who has justified us. He's a judge. To the spirits of just men made perfect. All Christians. To Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. We have been gathered by the finished work of Jesus on the cross, who is the go-between between us and God, and that's the new covenant. And to the blood, his blood, this blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of Abel was just blood of an animal shed. And this is what we're going to see in this mountain. God is going to give them instructions regarding sacrifices, the shedding of the blood of animals, and other sacrifices. The Bible says here that the blood of Jesus is really a fulfillment of all that. And he says, "For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven.'" If they did not escape him who spoke through the sound of the trumpet, the cloud was there visible, the lightning was there, the thunder was there. If anybody wanted to escape, there was nowhere to go, right? If they did not escape and could not escape, how then can we escape if we actually wanted to escape. He says, not only do I shake earth, I shake heaven, I shake everything. God is inviting people to himself. And if they reject the invitation, all they will get is his judgment. And there is no way of escape. There's no corner you can run to and escape his justice. He's going to shake both heaven and earth. Everything is going to be shaken. And he says, now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of things, those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Since God is going to shake the whole earth and the whole heaven and get rid of everybody who rejects him, he says, now we speak of things that are actually unshakable. We speak of things that are completely eternal. He's speaking of people who have given their life to Christ. And he said, we get to be part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We get into heaven, we're invited, we get in, and we are completely and completely safe. Our names are in there. We receive the invitation. We got in. And we're completely safe. And he says, since we are safe, the Bible teaches that we give ourselves to him, no one can snatch us out of his hands. He has us in the palm of his hands, and nobody can. Nobody will ever. That speaks of a complete, secure position in him. There's a lot of debate on can a Christian lose their salvation? What if they followed, they once followed the Lord, but you know they drifted away or went back into sin? I try not to get myself in such debates for one reason. All I have to do is be with the Lord, right? And that applies for each one of us individually. I cannot start debating on behalf of somebody else, right? Like, if they choose to walk away from the Lord, they will be answerable, right? All of us are called to follow the Lord individually. Amen? So, okay, can somebody lose their salvation? That's up to them if they want to. If they don't follow the Lord, it's up to them. God calls us individually. And with that aside, this speaks of our eternal security. We who have given ourselves to the Lord are completely safe in his hands. And he says, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. There is a way to serve the Lord such that he accepts. Two ways: reverence, godly fear, respect. You can serve God in a way that does not honor him. Did you know that? You can serve God with a very quarrelsome mouth. Have you met people who are quarrelsome? I remember going to a conference. We're all sportsmen. So there were these guys, they play rugby. Anybody plays rugby here? Their diet is different. Let me just summarize it, right? So at the breakfast table, and the rugby guys are saying, you know what, this is like a starter. So they wanted to be served some more. Obviously, the bill was paid. But the chef on the other side was like, no, that is the standard English breakfast. I said, no, these guys are special. They're rugby players, right? They are, you know, serving has to be twice or three times as much as the ordinary person. Our representative on this side just started quarreling. Quite embarrassing. Almost all of us were hiding. This girl was shouting on top of voices just to get more breakfast. That was a decent way to get, you know, more breakfast. Just go talk to the manager, right? Like, can I just talk to your manager? Yeah. These are rugby players, they need more food, right? And it's solved. But she really ruined our reputation because all she did was quarrel and quarrel and quarrel. They eventually gave the rugby players breakfast, more breakfast, but We can serve God with a quarrelsome attitude, maybe with laziness, with complaints, with everything that does not honor Him. And if that is you, am I speaking to you? Is your finger going like, ah, Pastor, that's me? Or you're thinking, that is this person right here? If you're out there serving the Lord without honor or respect to Him, God is speaking to you, right? And not just you, God is speaking to all of us. That since we are those who are called by His name, His special treasure, His holy nation, His royal priesthood, His own special people, we are supposed to serve Him with respect to Him. We're supposed to serve Him in such a way that we do not act in any way that disrespects who He is or that ruins His holiness, His righteousness, His grace, His patience. Reverence and godly fear. The nation of Israel was called to serve the Lord, to stand in the gap. Moses is called to serve, Aaron is called to serve, and God is going to break down so many service paths and areas throughout this journey and throughout the life in the promised land. But there is one thing that is required for all servants, is honor to God. You serve God without respect and honor and reverence to Him. He does not accept it. He says to us, I do not respect that and I do not accept that. Can you imagine serving the Lord in whichever area? And in the end, God says to you, I'm so sorry, I do receive you into heaven, but I completely reject your service to me because you did not represent me. None of us wants to hear that. All of us want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Moses, go down the mountain, tell them, come up, all right? Three times. And Moses says, all right, I'll go, I'll come. I'll go, I'll come. Moses is going to go down the mountain, you know, break the Ten Commandments, the stones. He's going to get back up and go get another pair. God is going to teach him. God is going to teach Israel. God is teaching us how to serve Him. We serve Him with respect, and He says, with fear, reverence. We don't serve Him with familiarity. Like, oh, I know God, whatever it is. Yes, He says He's our friend, He's our collaborator, but He's also judge and is God Almighty. And we have to look at Him in all ways. And the reason the writer of Hebrews says this in summary says, remember, our God is a consuming fire. Do you ever approach fire carelessly, even if it's a small fire used for cooking? Do you ever approach it carelessly or disrespectfully? God appeared to Moses on this very mountain, sending him to Egypt in form of a burning bush. God appears to Moses and Aaron and all Israel in form of a smoking, burning mountain, including thunder and lightning and a trumpet sound. We should ask ourselves, if God chose to manifest in those ways, and in the middle of all that He says, come and we talk, how would we even walk to that point? Imagine you're seeing a fire, you're hearing trumpets, you're hearing loud lightning. You're seeing smoke and God says, please come. You're thinking, are you serious? should I really come? Do I need like fireproof clothes on? We would approach Him with so much reverence. And the writer of Hebrews says, our God is a consuming fire. You approach Him carelessly. You touch the mountain when He has not told you to touch the mountain. You are going to be burnt up. you're going to be roasted. And you're going to be smoking. In fact, when we get to 1 Corinthians, the Bible says that those who actually will make it to heaven as if they just escaped from a burning house. Like their white robes will be smoking like, I almost didn't make it. Not because they did not believe, but they did not serve the Lord with reverence. Their service to God is going to be put right before them, and God is going to light a fire to test the quality of their service. How did you serve me? Good or bad? And God is going to light a fire. And if all your service demonstrated by this heap stands, then you serve God well. You get your reward. Welcome. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's your reward. If your heap of service to the Lord does not stand his fire, the Bible says you will suffer loss. You wasted your time, though you will be in heaven. God is calling us to obedience. God is calling us to be set apart for himself. We're going to see the Ten Commandments and so many other instructions. And all of them require obedience. All of them require of us, yes, Lord, we will follow all those instructions. God is calling us to be set apart. We should not allow to serve any other person apart from the Lord. And even when we are serving the people on earth, at your workplace, know that it's God who is your real boss, not just that person. You may be thinking, but my boss is a Muslim. God is your boss. But my boss is younger than me. My boss is smaller than me. Well, my boss is even uneducated. God is your boss. And if you're Christian, regardless of who you serve under, know that God is the one who you're serving. And the way you treat your earthly boss should be a reflection of the way you react to God. If all you think is you can disrespect your earthly boss but respect God, he says, no, I reject that. I do not accept that. You respect your earthly boss just as you respect your heavenly boss. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. You serve him in a way that does not honor him. All your service will be burnt up, and you will have smoke for a reward. Anybody wants to, instead of wearing a crown, you wear a smoky stuff, like soot and smoke off your head? None of us want that. Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you so much for just calling us again to yourself, oh God. Thank you so much for gathering us out of all nations, tongues, and tribes. Thank you for calling us to your service, Lord. Thank you for calling us to obedience. Thank you for calling us to be separated to you and to you alone. Lord, we are committed to obey. Lord, we are committed to live for you alone and to serve you alone. Lord, we are committed to serve you with honor to you, Lord, with reflection of who you are. We're committed to serve you with cheerfulness, with gratefulness, Lord, with love, with courtesy, O God. And Lord, just as you appeared on that mountain, nothing has changed about you. You are still a judge. You are consuming fire, Lord. And soon you're going to call us up to heaven with the sound of a trumpet. Lord, you have spoken to us through your word, just like you spoke to Moses and Israel. Lord, may we receive every word that you speak to us, and may we be transformed by it. Lord, may we learn your ways and follow your ways, O God. Daily may we remember that we are here to serve you as your special people, as a priesthood, those who stand between you and others, you know, to pray, to intercede, to declare your love. Lord, we are your representatives here. We are your ambassadors. May we represent your will and spread your word. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.